What's your earliest memory as a child? Your very earliest memory?
One of my early memories is when my sister was born.
Okay, I'm just going to say.
And it's one of the few memories I have of my father.
Okay.
And my mother was in the hospital and my sister had been born. And the rule was that you couldn't take a child up to see into the hospital. And so I can just remember my father holding me and taking me up. We went up the fire escape.
Really?
We went up the fire escape steps.
You went up the fire escape.
Because he wasn't supposed to take me into the hospital.
Wow.
So my mother wanted to see me, I guess. So I can remember, he had long legs. And he took me up the fire escape to see my mother and my new sister. So that's probably the first memory that I have is of that. And I don't know why I remember that so much, but I do.
And that, were you afraid at all going up the fire escape?
No.
That's not why you remember it. It's just
because
it was such a...
It was so unusual. And I knew he was breaking the rules.
Interesting.
Isn't that funny?
Interesting. So, and you remember his long legs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then the whole story of my father is quite interesting. My mother never talked about my father, so I knew practically nothing about him.
Okay.
She never said anything bad about him, but...
And I'm going to ask you things, and I would think I would could remember, but your father's name was...
James A. Holt.
Okay. And your mother never told you anything about him, and he, again, probably I've known some of this, most of it, but it's...
That's all right.
I'm ask the questions. Just explain the whole story, I guess, of your father then, if you want to.
I don't know how my mother ever met him or anything, but, you know, we are Scots-Irish. That's our heritage, my family on both sides. And I don't know much about the Scots-Irish, except I read a book not too long ago about them. It was kind of interesting. It didn't tell me too much. Like everybody else that came from Europe, they were horribly poor and pugnacious.
What does pugnacious mean?
Ready to fight and independent. And my father's mother's name was Sullivan.
Okay.
Maybe O'Sullivan, but Sullivan. And her brother was a pastor. And he was a Lutheran pastor, and I never heard of Lutherans until I met him. And there was just one little tiny Lutheran church in Hot Springs. I never knew anybody that was Lutheran. It's kind of funny, being Lutheran, and that's an Irish name, so I don't know how that all came about. But...
Because all Irish is Catholic.
Catholic, but they weren't. But the Scots-Irish were not Catholic. They were the Irish that were not Catholic. They came from the part of Ireland that wasn't Catholic, and actually a little bit anti-Catholic. I don't know what my father did,
You mean you don't know what he did for a living?
No, I don't know what he did for a living.
Okay.
And I think he and my mother had to get married. The reason I think that is because she was in college in Georgia. She graduated from high school. And she was in a college of a girls' school, Brenau, B-R-E-N-A-U. I don't think it exists anymore.
Okay.
And she once told me that it was a finishing school, what they call a finishing school for girls, that a girls' society daughters would go there. And it would finish them up to present them to society. I never saw pictures of wedding pictures or anything about that. She never told me about it. And I have a picture somewhere. They lived in West Virginia for a little while. We had relatives in West Virginia, so he probably was up there working. And
your dad was.
Probably. Then in Hot Springs, My grandfather, they came back to Hot Springs, and my grandfather owned a lumber mill. He was a medical doctor, but he did own this lumber mill. And I gather that my father, well, I don't gather, he did work for my grandfather in the lumber mill.
Okay.
And when he left one morning, took all the money from the cash register, just walked out. And then my mother had gonorrhea. He'd given her gonorrhea. Well, I don't know whether that, how that came into the picture, whether he knew he had done it and decided he had to get out because my grandfather was, would have been, and my grandfather wouldn't have permitted my mother to live with him after that.
Really, even though they were married?
They
right?
were married, of course, but he would have had a fit. My grandfather would have been just, because he was so uprighteous.
I see. Your grandfather would have been furious because your dad had run out on your mother.
And because
cheated
he'd given,
on your mother.
And because he'd given her gonorrhea. That would have been it. I mean, that would have been the end of it. But anyhow, he left, and I never again saw him. And he never sent us any money or anything. That was the end of it.
How old were you when he left?
I was 4.
He took the money out of the cash register and left town.
Yeah.
And did he ever reappear?
Well, he sent us, they found out, my grandmother told me, the little bit I know about him, that I would say to her, what happened to my daddy? Doesn't he love us anymore? And she said she'd cry every time I said that to her. And he sent us Christmas presents one Christmas. And my grandfather made my mother send them back to him.
Did you know that he had sent them?
No, I don't think I ever knew that.
They kept it a secret.
Well, I don't know how.
Don't remember?
No. But here was my grandfather's reasoning, see? And I think he was right. He said he doesn't earn the right to buy your children's affection. When he sends money home to help take care of your children, he has earned the right then. It's kind of a mean way of looking at it, but he was very self-righteous, my grandfather was. But he lived up to his own code. I mean, so after that, I never heard anything more about him. That I did see my father's brother. His name was E.C., and he lived in West Virginia. Now, we have these connections in West Virginia, and I'll tell you about them, too. So, my aunt, Faye, my mother's sister, was, when I was in a sophomore in high school, my mother could sing and play the piano, and she went to New York to be discovered.
Really? Your mother did?
Yes.
Okay, but we're talking about, we'll go back there, but we're talking about your father still, right? Is that
tied
into that?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And, wait a minute, let me get back to where he came into this.
You're talking about Hot Spring?
Yeah. I'm talking about my father in terms of my father had a brother.
Okay.
James E.C.
Okay.
And that didn't mean anything. People then named their kids E.C., like J.W.
Okay.
As far as I know, it meant nothing. Now, everybody called him E.C. And I liked him. And he lived in West Virginia in this same town where, I don't know how this all happened to be like that, where my grandmother's sister lived. So I have a vague idea how that was. But anyhow, so when I spent this sophomore year in West Virginia, and I stayed with my aunt, Faye, my mother's sister, in this little town in West Virginia, Matewan. And then I saw my father's brother there. And I went over and spent the night at their house. He had a daughter named Gwen Jean, and I liked him. And we never talked about my father. But he was, I knew who he was. And then I saw him several times. Once in Hot Springs he was there, and I came home. I was supposed to meet him, and I stalled around, and I didn't. But he's dead now. So is my father. My father died. My father then tried to see me once. He remarried, had two children, two sons, and I knew where he lived. So one time when I was working, when I was in Arkansas, I was working at the Army camp, somehow I was in Springfield, Missouri, and I went to his house to see him. He was not there, but this woman came who was his wife, and I told her who I was. And she said, well, she said, my sons are here, they don't know about you. And so she said, I don't know whether she introduced me or not, but I didn't tell them who I was. So I have two half-brothers, or I did, someplace in the world that I never knew about. And so I didn't see him then. Then, after I was married, and we were living in Windham, I got a letter from him, and his wife had died. And he wanted to come see us. Well, we were struggling, Walter and I, and really struggling. And I thought, here he's going to come sit on our doorstep and want something from me. I never answered it. I really should have anyhow, but I never answered it. And
go ahead.
Then later he married somebody.
Again?
And she sent me a picture of him. I may have it someplace. And he's a big man with a black mustache, and he looks like a real salesman, you know, like he just looks like a salesman. Then Connie, you know, found all this stuff on the internet about him.
Right.
And in which they said, the notice said, it was rumored he had been married to my mother, but I've got a copy of the marriage certificate, so I know they were married, so that didn't bother me anyhow. But, then I saw his mother, my grandmother, lived in Hot Springs for a while, and I called her Muddy, I don't know why. But I would see her, I would go up and see her, and we had a pleasant relationship when I was a little girl. And
when he wrote that letter when you were in Windham, I would guess that from that, the way you reacted to the letter, it wasn't a letter, I'm sure you haven't saved it.
No.
But it wasn't a letter of, please forgive me, or anything remotely close to that.
No.
I just want to come see you, and thought, maybe he's just going to come on.
I don't know why I thought, I think if it had been that kind of a letter, I would have responded to it.
Sure.
I think I would, but I don't know. Because I think I wrote him once. I do think I wrote him once when I was in high school. And he was a veteran. He had been in World War I. And so he was entitled to veterans' pay. They had a big veterans to-do when I was quite young. And the veterans, I think they marched on Washington. And I think General MacArthur came out, and it was, they were not treated well. But they got some money. And I think I wrote him and said it was time for him to send it to us. But we didn't get it, of course. So I think I wrote him, but I'm not sure.
So do you have any... So he left you at age four, left the family at age four.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, as I told you, the only thing was I would say to my grandmother, doesn't he love us anymore?
Okay. And at some point, if that happened at age four, I would imagine by the time you were a teenager, did you stop thinking about him altogether because he wasn't around? I mean, you didn't have, there was of him, it was so short.
And my mother never talked against him. My mother never said one word against him. And so neither for him nor against him. And we moved into the home of my grandparents. And
when was that?
That would have been when I was about four or five.
Okay.
We moved from, we were living in Hot Springs, and I go by that street, what was the name of the street? I know I recognize it when I go back to Hot Springs. We lived on this little funny old street, funny little street in a, poor little house.
Okay.
And Alcorn Avenue. I remember now the name of it. And so I was telling you about that.
Well, you moved in with your grandparents?
Yeah, we moved in.
You mean because he left?
Because he left, and my mother had left college, so she wasn't trained to do anything.
You mean she had been going to college, and he had been supporting the family while she went to college?
Oh, no. My grandfather had. You mean my grandfather?
No, your father.
Oh, no, my father. My mother was going to college and left college and married him.
Okay. Oh, left college to marry him?
Yeah, but she was still a freshman in college.
Well, do you remember what she was studying or anything? Or?
No, I'm okay. Sure it wasn't anything much. But she was a wonderful pianist. And
Well, let me branch off of that, because you said something I'd like to explore. That is, you talked about your grandfather as being, I think you used the word righteous or...
Yeah, right.
Very upright.
Well, right, you remind me of him in some ways.
Okay. I'll take that as a compliment.
It is. It is a compliment.
All right. Tell me more about him. Tell me more about that, your impression of him. How did, as a young person or as a child, when did you first notice that about him, or what struck you?
Well, he was called Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
I called him Big Daddy. Isn't that funny? And he was a heavy man, big man.
Okay.
And, well, he really became my father, you know. But I was afraid of him. We were all afraid of him because he was very, he was, when he came home, he wanted things right. When he ate breakfast in the morning, for example, when he wanted to eat on the good china, he ate in the dining room. We had a dining room, and I can see him sitting at the end of the table. And we all had to behave. I've written poems about this, so it's quite clear. Everybody, and of course we were kids, and we would fight over who got the best dish and who got the biggest piece of pie. And one time I was so naughty, he took me out in the kitchen and spanked me. That was the only time that ever happened, and it was enough to, I never again misbehaved. I never again did anything wrong because I didn't want to incur his wrath. But he was good to us, and he would, men wore nightshirts then, and we would, in the night before we go to bed, he'd have his toes, he'd be barefooted, he'd try to put his toes on our toes, and so I can still remember him playing around with our toes. And what else about it? He didn't want anybody staying. He didn't want my grandmother. Well, she didn't. She didn't have any overnight company. Of course, there wasn't room in the house. But, and they didn't take vacations. That was just...
No money?
Well, I don't know. You see, I really don't know. And so my mother, when we moved there, Faye, Nan, Jinx, and Gloria, and my mother's sisters were all living in this house. And then my mother moved in and with the two of us. So that was seven, and the two adults. So she did get a job and worked.
You're talking about your mother?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm sure when my grandfather lived, she didn't pay a dime. And my mother smoked then, and that, I think I've told you this, and it was not, that was pretty naughty. And he didn't know she smoked. And so when she would smoke, she would go upstairs in the sleeping porch where we were and open the window and blow the smoke out the window. But so he wouldn't know that she smoked. And she played with the band. You've seen pictures of her with this two or three piece band. But he would not permit her to go on the road. She was married. She'd been married, had two kids. She could not go on the road and be overnight gone with these men.
I see.
Yeah, and I also wrote this in poems. Then when my mother's sisters were dating, like one just a little bit younger than my mother, he would sit just like that on the front porch. But if they went for a ride with a boy,
uh-huh,
they had to come by every 15 minutes and honk. And he sat there and waited for them to come by and honk. So he was, that's the way he was. But I can remember him fussing about the grocery bill because he would get high at times, I can remember that, and no liquor in the house, absolutely none. And then I can remember that when a party, that they had a party in our house, and I think they had a little band there. I mean, it was really, you know, people did that then, two or three pieces or something. But anyhow, a couple of the boys were shooting craps, I guess in the kitchen or something, and he made him get out of the house because there was not going to be any gambling in his house. And I don't remember if, I think I made this up for the poem, but they went out, I think I made it up for the poem, but they, that happened. But I put in the poem that they went outside and shot craps on the streetlight.
Oh.
But I don't think that really happened. But he was, he was his own self, but he lived up to what he believed in. I did love him. And, but he was 14 years older than my grandmother. And she would tell the story that they had married, that he was going with somebody else. And she read his love letters to somebody else, or somebody's love letters that had been sent to him. But he was from Mississippi. My grandmother was from Mississippi. They were from the part of Mississippi that is the most bigoted part of Mississippi. It was, I mean, if any part can be more than the other, it was from what was called the Delta Country. And I thought that was farther south, but the delta that they were talking about was south of Memphis, and it's a little town called Clarksdale and Sumner. And this was the area where Emmett Till, a young black boy, was murdered. Mm. And I was up here at the time, and I knew that that was the neighborhood where that was the area of Mississippi. And I can remember once saying something about the Ku Klux Klan. I don't remember what that was. But I don't know that my grandfather was ever, he wouldn't have been in Hot Springs, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, but that was Ku Klux Klan area, that part of Mississippi. We would go back to his home in Mississippi once a year, usually. And I can remember we would go to, I think, to Memphis, no, Helena, Arkansas, and then we would ride the ferry across the Mississippi because there was no bridge then, and I can still see the paddle wheel in the moonlight as it turned, and we went to Mississippi. I don't remember anything about being in Mississippi beyond that, but it was always kind of glamorous sounding to go to Mississippi, but it really isn't. And then the thing that puzzled me, and now, I mean, that, you know, I grew up in this home with all my, with my mother, my grandmother. My grandmother, it was, you know, we were just one big family.
How many siblings did your mother have?
Well, she had four that were living there: Nan, Jinx, Gloria, and Faye. And when they were in college, I think, well, Nan was in high school. Faye was the one, just younger than my mother. But Faye and Nan, they were fine. I didn't, you know, I think I've told you once, I didn't realize until, oh, I was, you know, really grown, and probably had kids, when I really realized that there was resentment on the part of Jinx, and I'm not sure about Gloria. Gloria was just a year older than I, and we were just like sisters almost, because she was, I think, 10 months older than I.
Really?
Yeah, and my mother.
So she was your aunt, but she's only 10 months older.
Yeah, maybe nine. And I know that somebody told me, maybe my grandmother told me, that my mother was so mad because her mother was pregnant when my mother, well, whenever, no, she was pregnant first, but my mother got mad when she found out that my grandmother was pregnant my mother was a grown woman then, of course.
I see.
And she said to my grandfather that she was ashamed of him. Because my grandmother was pregnant with Gloria. So, but we grew up. Gloria and I were in school together, and we were just part of the family. But there must have been some kind of deep-seated resentment, because there were years that I never heard from her, and she's died, and nobody ever told me that. And Walter and I went down to Louisiana. We were visiting her older sister, Nan, that my mother's, another one of my mother's sisters. I was very close to Nan. I loved Nan. And Gloria was living in Texas or someplace, so we went to see her. And Walter and I were there, and she and George, her husband, stayed in the store and had about an hour with us. We waited hours for her. And I think that must have been resentment. I cannot figure out.
Huh.
But we had other times together when I never knew it. I just didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jinx, I realized earlier, that was the sister older than Gloria, did not, was very resentful about us. And I didn't know what the matter was.
Well, now, did they married?
Yes.
But you think the resentment started when they were younger.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's, yeah, when they were younger.
I wonder what it was based on. What happened?
Greed. Not greed, but because we were there, there was less for them.
Because you moved in with them. Huh?
Yes.
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 You moved in with them.
Yes. Yes. And Jinx, we couldn't walk into her room. It was just like hallowed ground.
Okay.
And of course, my mother, they probably resented her. Nobody could tell my mother anything to do. I mean, my mother was a law unto herself. And so it wouldn't have mattered to my mother.
So in this house, there were your mother's four sisters.
Yes.
Your mother is five.
Uh-huh.
You and Barbara would be 6, 7.
Uh-huh.
And your...
No, the, yeah.
And then your grandmother and grandfather.
Nine. Yes.
And you moved in to that somewhere around 1920 or...
1920. I must have been four. 1923 or 24.
Okay.
And now, my grandfather lived, I think he died in 1930. He died in 1930. And so when he lived, he was working as a medical doctor, and he had a good income. Although at that time, it's not like today. Doctors ran up big bills. I mean, people ran up great big doctor bills.
I see, and didn't always pay on time.
Yeah, right. So when he died,
there wasn't some big estate.
No, the thousands of dollars owing to him. And he had taken out a note at the bank, okay?
Okay.
And the banker, I think I've told you this, the banker and the insurance, the insurance company colluded, and they somehow took the money right straight out of the money due my grandmother and paid the banker and kept it from my grandmother. Legally, they shouldn't have been able to do it. It was a legal debt, of course.
Did they take extra money, though?
They just
took it off the top.
Right, took it off the top. And so he didn't leave any great big estate, and there was a mortgage, or the mortgage was taken out on the house. The house was in the right part of town, and it had four bedrooms and one, two, three, four, and a sleeping porch. And so it worked out. Fanny must have been in college when we moved in. So she wasn't there the whole time. Yeah. And Nan went to college soon after. And then my grandfather died, and there was no money for Jinx to go to college. And she was always resentful about that, too. And she was the one in the family that was, and my grandmother would say, because my grandmother was enough like my mother, they were somewhat alike. But Jinx was the one that took the pledge that she was never going to have a drink of liquor in her whole life. And my mother colluded and she got one, because my mother put liquor in the vinegar bottle or something. And so Jinx was just furious when she realized, and anyhow, but Jinx was very straight-laced, and then when after my grandfather died, my grandmother was still not too old, and so my grandmother would meet men, and this just, Jinx just couldn't stand this, and she told her sister Nan about it, and she said that was when, did she say that was when, no, she didn't say that, but she talked about my grandmother's disgraceful behavior. Oh, then after my grandfather died, my great aunt Luella moved in with us, and she, my grandmother's youngest sister, and she taught school, she was a school teacher, and actually she would have been nearer my mother's age somewhat. But she was the most saintly person I've ever known in my life.
Luella.
She never, you know, the family was just, and my mother and grandmother would have these screaming arguments, and she would just go to her room. She was just saintly, that's all. But funny,
back to your, you moved in 1923 approximately, and your grandfather died in 1930. So, but the nine of you stayed in that house, and you bought that many people until you moved to Little Rock?
Yeah, well, by that time, they were older, and they'd get married, you know.
Okay.
Jinx, Faye got married, and then Nan got married, and then Jinx got married. And Faye,
check this. Yeah.
I'm gonna cry.
I told you.
I lived with Faye, and she and Boots were married.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And she taught Latin in school, and she was just all ambition and not energetic. And they didn't have any children. And Boots had about a seventh grade education.
Boots was her
husband.
Okay.
And his family owned the bank, and and so they did have some money, but Boots was the one in the family that just didn't. Well, when World War II came along, Faye decided that she would join the WACs. And so she did. Then when your dad and I got married, she came down. She was in Washington, I think, Washington, the state of Washington, and was at the wedding with us.
Wow, okay.
See, and I had lived with her for about a year when my mother went to New York to get discovered as a singer. I stayed with Faye, and I lived with her in Boots, and I loved Boots, but he drank. He drank terribly, and he had, at one time, I don't remember, I don't think he may have had DTs when I was there, because he would see things. But he was a disappointment, of course, of his family, and he was like just like a kid, you know. But she, when she went into the WACs, she met a man when she was in the military, and my mother met him, and he wanted her to leave Boots and to marry him, and she wouldn't do it because she just didn't think it was the right thing to do. She went back to this little town in West Virginia, and she drank herself to death.
Oh.
She absolutely drank herself to death. And my grandmother's sister, who lived there, went up there, and the dogs were all barking and howling. She was dead. She died with nobody around her. I don't know where Boots was, but nobody was around her. But and she had died up there with nobody around, just drank herself to death. And it's so sad because she was so bright, and it just shouldn't have happened. But those things happen to human beings. And when she went to Southern Seminary in Virginia, and then to a little school in Arkansas, Hendricks, and I've forgotten where else. But they all, you know, Southerners love, they live kind of on illusions. That's kind of typical, I think, of the South.
Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I mean, the idea of her going to this Southern Seminary, and my aunt Nan went to one called Gulf Park, which was down in Gulfport, and they're schools for the children of the rich.
Okay. You call it a seminary. Is it a seminary?
No, it wasn't a seminary, just meaning a ladies' seminary. A seminary doesn't necessarily...
A finishing school, you mean,
yeah.
Mike? Or?
Well, a seminary doesn't necessarily mean a religious seminary.
Okay.
It was commonly accepted as that.
Okay.
But that was the name of it, Southern Seminary, a Southern school for women.
Okay.
And I've got a picture of her here someplace, Faye, at that school, and she was popular, and
but the illusion, the illusion,
I mean, well, that
they weren't really rich?
No, they weren't rich.
Afford to go to that school, but she...
Well, she never should have gone. I mean, to go to that school, that's just beside the point, but I think it's somewhat Southern, but maybe it's not. Maybe it was just my family. But when, for example, my family did set some store on education. They thought it was important to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I grew up, there was no money. My grandfather had died. My mother had a job. My aunt was living there, my great aunt, to keep the household going. My mother had two dresses to wear to work, so there was no money. But I was not permitted to get a job anywhere. To get a job.
Because that would have been beneath you. So
exactly. At the dime store where some of my friends work. And a waitress job would have been out. That's just out. And so they have pretensions. When I say illusions, I mean it's pretensions as to what is considered okay and what isn't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So why did Faye drink herself to death?
Well, you know, when I was there, I don't remember her drinking so much, and I don't remember Boots drinking in front of me so much. I think it was kind of the end of the road for her. I mean, she didn't come back to this same little town and make one. It was up in the hills someplace, and I don't know what she was doing up there, but I think...
She was living with Boots, was she not?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So I think she thought it was her duty to come back to him.
And he drank, and did he make a good living or not?
She taught school,
right.
so they made enough money, but he had no future. He could never. His brother was president of the bank, Dan.
Okay.
And Dan, families or something. Dan was married to a cousin of ours.
Okay.
To one of Faye's cousins, and Dan had money, but he was. They didn't get along either. So,
So she had gone to school to be a teacher.
Yeah, and she was.
And she had gone to this Southern seminary.
Yeah.
And. Came back and had also met this Navy guy.
But that was after she'd been married for many, many years. She was probably 40, 38 years older then.
Okay.
But and my mother met them because so my mother was all for Faye leaving Boots and marrying him because she said His intelligence, his education was greater. I think Boots was intelligent, but he just wasn't, he wasn't well educated. He was very sweet to me and loved me and would call me when he was drunk after I left West Virginia. But, and he was the baby of the family, and they loved him, this West Virginia family. And, but I think it was, my grandmother never knew she died. My aunt Ruby, who lived in this same town, my grandmother's sister, did not tell my grandmother. She never knew the conditions under which Faye died, all by herself. I don't know where Boots was.
You mean he wasn't even living there at the time?
No, I don't know. I don't think they weren't separated or anything, but he could have been drunk too. I don't know. But he didn't die. He lived several years later.
Sure.
So, and that whole story, families have such many, I wrote about this. I've written the whole story about this. My grandmother's sister's name was Ruby, okay? She was my grandmother's, there was my grandmother, Jewel, May, Luella, Epi, and Ruby, the six sisters. And my grandmother acted like they were aristocrats. I mean the way they walked and everything. And their mother ran a boarding house. And their father was an alcoholic. This would have been my great-grandfather. And so I say in the poem, one day she told him to get lost, and he did, and he never came back. And so anyhow, Ruby, this sister, married a man, and it didn't work out. And she came to Hot Springs with my grandmother and my grandfather were living there, okay? And she worked in a... doing alterations in a dress shop there in Hot Springs. And my family, you know, they really operated as a family. They took care of one another. I mean, it was family, and so everybody that was family, which is wonderful. And so Aunt Ruby married this man. She had two daughters, and they came at Hot Springs, and they were, of course, living pretty frugally. And I expect my grandmother and my grandfather helped them. I guess they lived in a little apartment someplace. So a man came into my grandfather one day from West Virginia, and he told my grandfather, he said, I want to talk to you. He was a patient. He said, I want to meet a nice woman. I really want to get married, but I want to meet a nice woman, a really nice woman. And he asked my grandfather if he knew any really nice women. And my grandfather came home and told my grandmother about it. And he said, do you think I should introduce him to Ruby? And she said, they decided yes. So he introduced this man to my grandmother's sister. And they got married. And he was from West Virginia. This is how that whole West Virginia connection came in. They got married. And when they got married, they drew up a prenuptial agreement. Because he was quite wealthy.
Great.
I think he'd been a bootlegger, if you want to know what I think. But anyhow, he had a lot of money. And so they married. And then he tore up, he fell in love with her and tore up the prenuptial agreement. And this is another kind of sad story. She got pregnant and was having the baby. And before the child was born, who was a boy, he had a big, it's not a cancer, but like a cancer, and he died.
The baby died.
No. The man died.
Oh.
The husband died. The
husband died. Oh, my.
But he left her with a lot of money. And the son was named Robert Busker, who's a couple of years older than I am, probably did now, but I knew him.
Right.
So they lived in this little town in West Virginia, and the two sisters and Robert, and then another sister came along up there, Eppie, and married and met a man that ran the, had she been married before? Yeah, but she met a married a man up there too, Thacker, was his name Thacker? No, they lived at Thacker. Cinder was his name. So these two sisters, and this one reminded me of my sister Barbara, looked kind of like her, big, and they were a force all into themselves, these women. And then the two, there was two in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the two sisters there, and they were very, they didn't believe in drinking, and they were very rigid. The Hot Springs relatives didn't have much to do with these sisters, although they were part of the clan, of course. So anyhow, that's what happened to so then they lived in Matewan, and I told you there's this movie out called Matewan. Did you ever see it?
No, I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, so, but Matewan had 900 people, a tiny little town. It was the heart of a coal strike, a very famous coal strike, where the coal company hired Pinkerton guards.
Oh, yeah.
That rode on the top of the coal cars with shotguns and killed people that tried to do any, tried to stop the trains or anything. So so now we're back.
Okay, I should have looked at my time. This is 45 minute tape, it's still going.
Okay.
Your grandfather,
yeah.
What role, if any, did he go to church or anything like that? Or?
Oh, yeah, they went to church. They went to the Methodist church.
Methodist.
And he went to church, I would say, every Sunday they went to church.
Would you say, from your impression growing up, that it really meant anything to him, or was it just kind of a habit? You know what I mean? I mean, did he pretty much leave it at church, or did he...
Well, I don't know.
It's a hard thing to put your finger on, you know.
I think he lived according to the way he felt he should live. I mean, I think he had a code of behavior,
mm-hmm.
and no man, and he wouldn't permit my grandmother to dance with any other man. And that's just beside the point. But I think he was a very good person, and I don't think he would cheat anybody,
mm-hmm.
And there was no, what was missing in those days generally was the emphasis on things.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted more money, and I mean, I wanted new clothes. I didn't have a new dress until I was about 16. Everything was made over.
Hand-me-downs
had been made over. But they had a car. They could get a new car. Well, for example, his best friend was the druggist.
Okay.
And he and my grandmother didn't have any social life. I mean, they didn't go out and do things. It was all family. Sunday dinner. But I do remember him going to church. We children went to church. We always went to Sunday school. Now, after he died, there was probably far less, because he was the influence, less interest in church. We kids went to church. We were sent to church. But, no.
Was there a Sunday school program?
Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, because when I began looking at war and trying to figure out what in God's name could be done about it, And then I read those Quaker pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I'd learned all that stuff. We'd learned it all in Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
to love one another and turn the other cheek and walk the second mile. I learned all that stuff in Sunday school. But it really, and my family was good, but there was never any discussion of that. Of the importance of any of that message, and it was not It's not with most people. Most people don't believe that, and most people don't believe the message. If they did, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in.
I don't think it's, we'll get off the subject for a moment. I don't think it's that they don't believe it. It's that it's hard to live. It's hard to be nice to people. Of course, we're going to get off the subject now, so let's not do that.
All right. So you had asked me about my grandfather. Something had happened to my grandfather which I never learned. He was not a member of the medical society, and that was kind of a mystery, and I never learned what it was. And that's...
So he was a doctor, but he was not a...
member of the medical society, and I don't know what that was. I don't know. But I know that he... I can tell you, know that he did. He would not do anything that was improper, because... when I went home one time, when I was pregnant with Melinda, and my grandmother said, "You're mad," to me. And I said, "Yes." She said, "You don't want this baby." I said, "You're right, it's too soon." She said, "Listen," she said, you know how many, I had six children, and your grandfather could have done something about that, but he wouldn't. But she said, "I never wanted any of them but your mother. Never wanted one of them. But when they came," she said, "I loved them all, and I took care of them. And that's good enough for you, too."
Mm. So what did you think about that?
I thought that was a wonderful message. That was not sentimental. That was just right there.
She wasn't saying, "Oh, don't feel that way." She's just accepting that, you know.
Yeah, that's the way it is, and you're going to love that baby. Whether you think you want it or not, you're going to love the baby when it comes, and you're going to be a good mother. That was the message. And I thought that was the best message I could have gotten at the time. Was just, that's it. So he was, what else can I tell you about him? I don't remember him ever doing anything for fun. Really, I saw pictures, somewhere I have a picture of him as a young man. He was a very handsome young man.
Let me go to my sheet here and see if I can. We can talk about various people. We can talk about broad brush things. We've talked about your father and your grandfather. Why don't we spend a little time at least talking about your mother? You had mentioned your earliest memory of your father was going up the fire escape at the hospital.
Yeah.
Earliest memory of your mother?
That early memory of my mother?
Yeah, what would be your first memory of your mother? I mean, maybe that same day when you see her in the hospital, but...
No, I don't remember that.
Is there any other, you know,
first
early...
First time of seeing my mother?
Striking memory, or...
Oh, no, not now. I can just... What stands in my mind is... Years later, I can just remember sitting at the table with her, and I wrote a poem about this, and that's why this stuff is... She had a male friend from Tennessee. I think she would have married him, but this man died. From Jackson, Tennessee. And we went to Jackson, she and I. I don't remember Babs being with us, but she and I were there, sitting at a table in this hotel. And she had on a black hat. And I can remember thinking she was the most beautiful person in the world. And I never thought that about my mother generally. You know, I thought she is so beautiful in this black hat. And but she was tough. She was tough. Tough and money her own way. And headstrong and difficult.
Difficult for other adults to relate to. Difficult in that she demanded her own way.
Yeah. Well, she had to work, and she did, and she was tough. She in her job, for example, in the South, they have poll taxes. You know what a poll tax is? That everybody has to pay to vote.
Yeah.
And so the poll tax was very useful because it kept black people from voting.
Right.
But in Hot Springs...
Useful, I mean, you mean useful to the people that wanted it.
Yes,
yeah.
Oh yeah. In Hot Springs, my mother worked for the county. And one of my, that was a political job. Now, my grandfather was not political. My grandfather, and I don't think he ever would have been, because it would not have been something that he would have been involved in, just not. But my mother had a poll tax list, which meant that on election day, she would go around and pick up people in her car and take them to the polls and tell them who to vote for, and then take them home.
Why would you call that a poll tax list? I mean,
well, the poll tax, she had a list of people whom the city had paid their poll tax.
I see. I got it. Okay.
The city paid the poll tax.
Wow.
And then she picked up the people and then took them to the polls to vote.
Wow. Where did she get her, she did this as she was...
In connection with her job, I think.
And she was, sorry, again, her job was...
She worked in the welfare office. She was not a social worker because she didn't have the education.
Okay.
But she worked as a secretary in the welfare office, which was, the county courthouse was about two blocks from our house, and so she walked to the courthouse. And she had an affair with a deputy sheriff named Will Lowe for years. And he was a very sweet man. Married, had kids, and my mother didn't give a damn. And my grandmother had a fit. And I can remember one Christmas that he called the house, and it just ruined the dinner. I think my grandmother threw a plate or something because she was so mad. And I can remember being at I met this girl, and they were kind of, they were not of the same social class as we were, a little bit below. I mean, in terms of education and who they went with, okay? So this girl's mother began to ask me about Will Lowe, and she knew about it. I don't know how she ever knew about that. My mother was having this affair with Will Lowe. But I, of course, clammed up and left. And
was she trying to put you down?
I think she was just, it was just one of those, but I can remember it happening and how embarrassing it was. But do you think that I could have told my mother that? No, because my mother, it would not have made any difference to my mother whatsoever.
Now, you say your mother went to New York to try and make it. Was mm-hmm. that, what year would that have been? When would she have?
That was when I was a sophomore in high school.
So that would have been 1934?
Yeah. 34, 35. Because okay. I think I graduated in 30, probably 34, yeah. 34, 35, yeah.
And do you remember that? Do you remember her talking about planning for it?
Oh, yes, I remember the plans.
You want to tell that story?
Well, she and my grandmother, my mother could sing. My mother sang sexy songs. And she sang, she had a cigarette in her mouth. You've heard me talk about this. Cigarette hanging about like that. My mother singing, playing the piano and looking at you. And I think she was very talented. But she didn't get the breaks. She didn't get them. So we had a friend, Ross Graham was his name. Not a lover or anything like that, but he was in New York. And then my mother had another friend, Artis, I forgot her name. And they thought maybe he could help my mother get started. So my mother and this other woman went to New York and spent, whole school year there while I was with Faye, and Babs must have stayed at home in Arkansas. And my mother ended up going door to door selling stuff.
Oh, wow.
And
just like they can do nowadays if they have to, I mean, but she was really trying hard to make it work and to...
Yeah, right. And just, I think she'd have made it today, but yeah.
She didn't have the right connections.
She didn't have the right connections. She didn't, nobody pulling for her. And my mother was big and attractive, but that was another thing too. My mother was almost, was 6 feet tall, you know.
That's right.
And so if she had been a little more petite, uh-huh, and more conventionally cute and beautiful, but she wasn't. She was a big woman and good looking, but it was, I think, maybe threatening, no doubt.
So she went up there, tried, and you never heard any details of how far she got, or was there any?
Well, she would talk about it later, that, and she worked at McCrory or McCrary's. There was a big department store there that she worked at, and it just didn't pan out. But I don't remember her being depressed about it, if that's interesting, because she came back to Hot Springs
No, did she sing in clubs in Hot Springs or do anything like that?
Well, she played with this band, remember, and she sang with this band when she was in Hot Springs.
But she couldn't go on the road.
Go on the road then. And there was no opportunity to make money, I don't think, in a band singing like that in Hot Springs. It just wasn't. You had to go to New York or Chicago or someplace like that. And
did you ever go to an event that she was singing at?
No. Just like.
So your grandmother was like another mother to you?
Absolutely. And because she was actually, my mother was working a lot, and my grandmother was there. My grandmother was, she was, she was married when she was 14. She had all these kids, and none of them were sentimental. None of them were, what shall I say? They all were practical. All my relatives were very practical and do what has to be done and that sort of thing.
But you mentioned earlier that family's family, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Tight-knit group.
That's right. They were. Your family. Yeah, and the family, no matter what they did, was family still, and you stuck with them and that sort of thing. My grandmother was very much, much more into appearances than my mother. My mother didn't give a damn, and my grandmother did, and my grandmother would dress up and go downtown, and I'd love to go downtown with her because everybody in the stores knew her. Hello, Mrs. Simpson, how are you today? And I think I told you she would occasionally refer to herself as Mrs. Dr. Simpson.
No, I didn't know that.
Mrs. Dr. Simpson. So they knew that her husband was a doctor. And she was a seamstress, and she made beautiful dresses, and she would, she made one for Faye. She copied a dress from the store downtown, and then she was very vain, and she would buy. We children, I would always get our shoes at Gartenberg's. It was called a sample shoe store. I think it would be. I don't know what. Well, I guess they were cheaper shoes at Gartenberg's.
Factory Seconds or something?
Yeah, had an apartment house, and my grandmother's sisters, I guess now it's coming to me, probably Aunt Ruby lived there because she knew the Gartenbergs. And my family was not in the sense of being hateful, but there was a difference between Jews and other people.
Jews were worse or better?
Not better, no. But I mean, they were not bad. It was just they were different.
Okay.
And so you didn't associate with Jews, but you were not
mean to them.
No. But that was also true with black people. But Jews, they were not considered inferior. They were just different. So anyhow, Sam Gartenberg had this shoe store, but it was shoes all over, and it was nothing elite about it. You just went in and bought shoes. But my grandmother always bought her shoes at Kempner's. That was a very exclusive shoe store, and she said she had to for her feet, because her feet were very narrow. And she was very proud, and proud of her daughters and her standing in the community. And that's why she and my mother had these terrible fights.
Because your mom didn't operate in that realm at all.
She didn't give a damn.
She'd do whatever she wanted to.
Right. And I loved her dearly, but it would bother me from time to time, as you can imagine. And she, one of her, I'm trying to think of how that worked, was that, you know, she, one of her lovers was this Walter Nance from Knoxville, Tennessee, the one I told you I was there. And he gave her a lake house.
You're talking about your...
My mother.
Uh-huh. Your mother, okay. He gave her a lake house.
Yeah, he gave her the money, and she built a lake house. So I think he could come, when he'd come from Tennessee, he would stay at the lake house with my mother. She'd be there on the weekends only. Now, my mother was just working. She could never have afforded a house. And my grandmother had a fit over this. She did not want my mother to do this, but you didn't use ordinary methods of persuasion with my mother.
When your father left, how long later before they actually divorced? Was it almost right away?
I think right away.
Okay.
So she was divorced all these years.
Okay.
And
so why did she not remarry? Why did the men not come around and court her or date her or
marry her?
Yeah.
Well, I think that she probably scared him off. Now, she knew one or two other men that I can remember. And one of them, I think, my grandfather liked. And then I remember there was a man named Carroll. I have his picture, and I wrote a poem about this, too. He was handsome. And she went out east. He lived in North Carolina or South Carolina. And I think I heard her telling about this, that she went out there to meet his mother, and she heard his mother saying to him, "Carol, this woman is a widow and has two children." And that was the end. I think she would have married Walter Nance, the man from Tennessee that built her the lake house.
But
he died. And so...
There was that hard on her? Do you remember that?
I don't think so.
Your mother covered up a lot, or just seemed to not even...
Well, I think she cared for him, Mike, but it was, life went on without him.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did care for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then she did marry, you know. She married, you've heard this story, she married her cousin, whose name was Raymond Martin. Was not worth a damn. I mean, I shouldn't say that about any human being, but he was, he sold oil well leases. That gives you an idea. And he made money selling oil well leases, and I don't think they produced oil very often. He was in the oil business. And he was the son of one of my grandmother's sisters, Eppie. And Faye told me the story that he tried to con his mother's doctor one time into giving him some money, because Faye didn't like him and didn't want my mother to have anything to do with him. But he married my mother, and that was a disaster.
When did they get married?
They got married after I was living in Wyndham when they got married.
Okay. So, late 40s.
Yeah. And she was married to him for a number of years. That my Aunt Gloria, I didn't tell you the other part about Gloria, was Gloria was working at a bank. I may have told you the story. Gloria was working at a bank. I don't know where I was. I think I was in Minnesota when this happened. I think I was in Wyndham. I had a son named George, named Jimmy Frenzel. She was married to this Henry Frenzel, and that didn't work out. And I, they divorced. She moved to Hot Springs, and she and my mother had difficulty. My mother had difficulties with a lot of people. And anyhow, Lori was working at a bank, and she stole, I think, $3,000 from the bank. And so this was known in the town. And this was just, my grandmother was living, and it was pretty terrible because that had never happened. And it was awful. Anyhow,
wait a minute, say that again. She?
She stole $3,000 from the bank.
She?
Embezzled
she,
it.
She, oh, okay.
She embezzled the money.
This was Gloria.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so she was tried. She was in a court, and she was going with a man then named George. She was, she divorced her husband and was going with this man named George Walters. And he and my mother got in a big fight one time, and he actually hit my mother. And I always liked him, but I could understand it in the way he hit her. And broke her nose. Can you believe this?
Really?
Broke my mother's nose. So
it was more than a slap, it was a punch or
yes,
some kind.
Yes, yes. Well, she probably said something terrible to him. Not that that was a justification.
Right.
But when this happened, George's family, and they were not rich, got the money together, and they paid it. And so she didn't have to go to prison or anything. It was all, the money was taken care of, and it was all known. But it was taken care of. And then George and Gloria moved to Texas, and they made a lot of money. He was very dexterous, and he started what he called a house doctor business. And in Texas, they had no labor unions at that time. So he had a great big truck. I guess, you know, not just a pickup truck, a huge truck, and had workmen on it. And Gloria would go through the neighborhoods, the very rich neighborhoods, and see something that needed fixing, and go to the front door and knock at the door and say, you know, you've got a garage door here that looks pretty bad. Would you like to have somebody come fix it? And then George would come fix it. Well, he made gobs of money on this because he had everybody there. He had a plumber. He could get an electrician and do all this work. And then when George died, Gloria had the money, and she met a man. They weren't, it was a business deal or something, and he took her for every dime she had.
Oh.
So she died broke.
Oh.
But she would not, and then when I talked to, was it Bruce Whiteside? I think he had the same experience I did. I tried to call her a couple of times, and one time I got her, and she said, I'll call you back, and she never did. And then I tried again, and I couldn't reach her. She just absolutely made herself unavailable, and I was never sure that it wasn't humiliation over this, over this whole business of the embezzlement. But I did call her immediately and ask if there was anything I could do, but it was still there. So anyhow, now her son, Jimmy, because it was very close to my grandmother too, I don't know what's going on. I've seen him, but not in 8 years, and I don't know what's happened to him. They live in Texas someplace.
You know, going back to your mother marrying her cousin, you know, I believe I know of somebody here in town that married their cousin. What is the law, or what is the, it's not a law, but I mean, that isn't,
well,
that's a little close, isn't it?
For children, if you were going to have children, see, these people were old.
I see.
See, there was no question that there was no children. There had been no children, but that's, that they, yeah. But even brother and sister have sometimes had children.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Growing up, you have your grandmother and your mother and your grandfather and all your sisters.
My aunts.
All your aunts, I mean. And if you were just, and I don't even know if this is even a logical or helpful question, but, you know, if you were to say, of all those people, who kind of took the role of your father, or did anyone? You know, did somebody kind of step in and kind of at all,
well,
or maybe
father,
even a friend of the family?
No,
or?
No. But my grandfather.
It's your grandfather that
right,
did.
Right. But, you see, I was 10 years old when he died.
Your grandfather died when you were 10.
Yeah. So after that,
right.
It was 1929, I can remember, because that was when the Depression began. I never missed not having a father. Never.
Because you never knew what it was like.
No.
And you've talked before about in this house, now your grandfather died in 1929, and you lived mostly in that where you graduated from high school in 37.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, for a number of years there, you lived in a house with all women?
Exactly.
And how do you think that influenced you, or what?
Oh, I think it influenced me tremendously, because they thought they were superior to men.
They all did.
I mean, it wasn't maybe superior, but it was never said. But there was never any feeling, poor little me with no man in the house. I never heard that my whole life.
Do you think it was that they felt themselves superior, or they just felt themselves superior, period?
I don't know, because now I'll have to re-say that, because my grandmother would say from time to time that certain things happened and people took advantage of them because there was no man in the family. She would say that they were taken advantage of. She felt that things happened to them because they knew there was no man in the family to stand up for them.
Do you remember anything specific that happened? That she would have been referring to?
I do know that one time my mother wanted to borrow money from the bank to start a cleaning business. There was a cleaning shop there that evidently, and my mother was very enthusiastic about it. My mother would have done it. She could have. She was good. They wouldn't lend her the money. And my mother came home furious, and she said it was because she was a woman. She said if it had been a man, they would have lent her the money. And I believe her. They probably would have. So,
a cleaning business where she cleaned houses? Or?
No. Dry cleaning.
Dry cleaning.
Oh, no. My mother cleaned houses. Oh, no. She wouldn't. No. So.
Well, why don't we stop here?
Okay.